So get the Zion with base, Tyson to be maschil, seek a gabi mavu, sheesh bar lechi, kishera. So review the background of the Gemara. The Gemara had discussed a series of migos, or situations, where the halachas of sukkah allow a certain sukkah to be kosher, even though it doesn't have four solid walls. But parallel on Hilchos Shabbos, that setup would not create a rishus hayachid. But if sukkah falls out on Shabbos, that particular sukkah is able to be carried in on Shabbos as a rishus hayachid because of amigo. Since it's kosher for sukkah, it's kosher for Shabbos, even though Shabbos in isolation would not allow that. So, for example, the classic model of the two walls plus the shlishis afilu tefach, which, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, we have a slightly larger than a tefach placed within three tefachim of one of the corners of the walls. So you have a total of with lovewood together of the Halach L'Moshmi Sinai that less than three tefachim is kesosim, as if it's filled in. So you have a total of four, which is the majority of seven. And together with the Tzoros of Pesach, which Rabbi added in, so we have a total of seven tefachim. So that structure is not really recognized in Hilchos Shabbos, that creates a wall. Nonetheless, for the Shabbos that falls on Sukkot, it is considered Shasiachit. Then the Gemara gave the reverse example. We have a structure that's good within Hilchos Shabbos and should not theoretically be good within Hilchos Sukkot, but nonetheless, on the Shabbos of Sukkot, so when you put Tzchach on top of that kind of structure, it's counted as a kosher Sukkot, since the walls are good enough for Shabbos, good enough for Sukkot. So that example is the topic of Tosfos. We have a Mavui, gives some background information in terms of Hilchos Erevin. There are two kinds of Mavos. There's a Mavui Mefulish and a Mavui Sheina Mefulish. As we shall see in the continuation, Tosfos assume that we're dealing with a Mavui Sheina Mefulish, which is a Mavui that has walls on three sides. It's like a dead end. And Rashi is going to assume that the Gemara's topic is a Mavui Mefulash, that you have two walls opposite each other, and there's an entrance into the Mavui from one side into the Rishas HaRabim, and there's an exit on the other side also to the Rishas HaRabim. Goes through and through. So within Tosa's understanding that the Gemara is dealing with a Mavui She'ena Mefulash, so what we have in Hilchos Erevin is as follows, that Mavui Sheina Mefulash has three walls. And according to most Rishonim, that's enough to convert it into Rosh Hashiachid Min HaTorah. Even though you don't have the fourth wall there, it's open on the fourth side. But three walls, again, according to most Rishonim, against the Shittas HaRambam, that is sufficient to declare it to be a Rosh Hashiachid Min HaTorah. But nonetheless, rabbinically, we need a tikkun on the Ruach Revius. We need some kind of thing on the fourth wall, as we saw in the very beginning of the Masechta concerning the Korah. So you could have either a Korah or a Lechi, either a beam up high, less than 20 amos, according to the accepted view of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, or a Lechi, a side beam near one of the walls that is 10 tefachim tall, and there's no minimum width for that Lechi within Hilchos Mavui. And then the people in the Mavui can carry. Again, you also need something called Chitufim Mavos, which is not our concern about all the Chatzeros joining together with some kind of food. The halachas of a Mavui Mefulash are somewhat more complex. We'll introduce them now for purpose of the further discussion of Tosis, where he's going to argue on Rashi. The case of a Mavui Mefulash, again, where you have two walls opposite each other. So there, according to the accepted view of the Chachamim, you require one side to be closed off with a total Tzoros of Pesach that effectively closes off the third wall. And then on the fourth wall, then you use either a Lechi or a Korah. According to the generally accepted view of the Chachamim, so then without putting those things there, certainly without the Tzoros of Pesach, and without the Lechi, so those two walls are not enough to create a Rishus HaYachid. And it could very well be a Rishus HaRabim in a Torah, if there's a major thoroughfare through there. And like putting the Tzoros of Pesach there, so you have a third wall, as we shall see in the continuation, even had you not put a Tzoros of Pesach there, had you just put one Lechi, so we're going to pass in that Lechi is Misha Mechitza, that the side pole is considered like a halachic wall, and that creates halachically three walls. So that then becomes a rishus yachid min haTorah, but you still can't carry them either rabbanan. So therefore, the chacham required a source of pesach on one side, and a lechi or a korah on the other. Now let's begin the Tosfos. The Tosfos writes, Bein lamanda omar, b'fer kama de erevin, lechi misham akeira, bein lamanda omar misham achitza, kasha. We mentioned briefly in our introduction that we pasken that lechi is misham achitza, it's considered like a halachic wall, but that's actually debated. That's a debate between Rabba and Rava and Davyud Beis and Beis in the first parak of Masech Erevin, referenced by Tosfos here. Rabba and others as well maintain that lechi is misham machitza, that even though it's not a full wall, it's not four trachim wide, and it's not in any way filling in the gap, it's just a stick. But nonetheless, halachically, presumably a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, part of the machitzin, which we learned earlier in the name of Rav, that's part of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that's considered like a machitza. You can't have a lechi on all four sides, but if you have two walls and a lechi, so then that creates a third wall min haTorah. But there's another opinion, the opinion of Rava, that lechi is misham akeira. Doesn't really create a wall, it's just to remind you not to cross the boundary. So in the case that Tosfos is going to deal with primarily, which is the mavui she'ena mefulash, the mavui that has walls on all three sides. So min haTorah, it's the rishus yachid anyway. And what we need to do is to remind you not to cross over from that rishus yachid into the rishus harabim, which is outside the mavui, outside that alleyway or cul-de-sac. So we need a reminder, similar to the Korah, to remind you not to pass, because it's nifrat l'makom asalo, it's open to a place that's asa to it. So that side beam, when you see it, is going to remind you not to do so. So that's the machlokas amaroyim, whether the lechi is misham heker or it's misham achitza. So now, Tosis then proceeds to ask, Kasha, ma inyan sukkah, the boy mechitzas deraisa, the mavui derabanan. The heter of a lechi, in the example we gave, that Tosis is assuming we're dealing with here, which is a mavui she'ena mefulish, that has walls on three out of the four sides, and you put a lechi on the fourth wall. So min haTorah, as we mentioned a few times, it's already rishus yachid min haTorah, and you're allowed to carry there. So mavui is the rabbanan, meaning the need for the lechi, the need for the tikkun on the fourth wall, is only rabbinic law. But with respect to sukkah, so there we need mechitzos min haTorah. And what are those mechitzos min haTorah? So according to the accepted halacha, we need two solid walls, and the shlishis a filu tefach, subject to the rules that we mentioned earlier. The Tosfos asks, Kasha, ma einyan sukkah, devoy mechitzas, deraisa, lemovi derabanan, demi deraisa, below lechi shari. As we mentioned in our introduction, the mavui that Tosfos is assuming the Gemara is dealing with is a mavui she'ena mefulish. It has walls on three sides, and it's only open on the fourth side. Min haTorah, those three walls already created rishus yachid. It's only derabanan that you're not allowed to carry in it, and that you require this lechi. As Tosa says, to me the raisa below lechi shari, that even without the lechi it would be permissible. But regarding sukkah, you certainly need walls min haTorah. So Tosa is asking, how could we allow this migo that the Gemara says, that since the mavui with the lechi allows you to carry on Shabbos, so too, if you put tzchach on top, it's going to be a kosher sukkah. But with mavui, the only issue that we're dealing with is a rabbinic law to be able to put that lechi in to serve as another wall. But for sukkah, you require at least three walls, according to the psak, two walls and a tefach, min haTorah. So how could we cross over the boundary between something that's only working on a rabbinic level to remove a rabbinic problem? Min haTorah, you're allowed to carry in a mavi without the lechi. The lechi removes the rabbinic prohibition that was made that you're not allowed to carry without the lechi, and now with the lechi you are allowed to carry. So how could that lechi that's only operating on a rabbinic level in Hilchos Shabbos suddenly serve as a wall for the kashrus of the sukkah, which of course is a Torah principle? To elaborate a little more, to help understand Tosfos' kasha, Taisus at the end points out that even though we're dealing with a Mavish Einim of Foolish, which have three walls, so three walls are a kosher sukkah. So what do you need a Migo for? That the fact that it works for Hilchos Shabbos, it works for Hilchos Sukkah. Three walls are kosher for sukkah. So he points out that just pictorially see the imagery on an imaginary piece of paper. So imagine we draw a U, a square kind of U, where we have a line on the bottom and a line coming up on the right side and on the left side, which is our three-walled mavui. And then the lechi is on the top there in one of the corners, either near the end of the right wall or near the end of the left wall. So Tosis points out that the schach is not on top of the whole mavui, because if that would be the case, then you have three walls, so three walls plus a lechi, which is for sure okay. You don't even need the lechi for sukkah. So Tosis is going to point out at the end that we're dealing with where the schach is not put on the whole mavui, or in the end that has the back wall in our diagram, the bottom wall. But rather the schach is only on the front side of the mavui, or in our diagram, the top side. So therefore, how many walls do you have in that kind of situation? You have a wall to the right and a wall to the left. That's only two. We need a third. And your third wall is the lechi. So now, as we mentioned earlier, the Gemara in Eirin points out that a lechi has no minimum measurement and in Hilchas Eirin. And we know that the third wall, in terms of Hilchas Sukkah, does have a minimum measurement. We learned it earlier. It has to be a tefach. Not only does it have to be a tefach, we learned earlier, according to the winning view, that it has to be a tefach plus, placed within less than three tefachim to one of the walls to create a halachic wall of four tefachim. None of that is existent with respect to an ordinary lechi in Hilchas Eirin. It's not a tefach, and even if it is a tefach, it's not a tefach plus placed strategically within three tefachim of the wall. So how can we suddenly magically take a rabbinic heter of the lechi, which is allowing you to carry in a mavui she'enim of foolish, which has three walls anyway, which is mutter to carry in min haTorah, and all the lechi is doing is removing a rabbinic prohibition? How could that suddenly, through the power of migo, since it's good for Hilchos Shabbos, it's good for Hilchos Sukkah, allow that less than a tefach lechi to suddenly become a mechitza for Hilchos Sukkah? That's Tosis Kasha. That to say a migo on a deraisa level, from a Torah law to a Torah law, that we can understand. But to say amigo from a rabbinic concept to a Torah concept does not seem to make sense. So Tosis answers his kasha as follows. Yesh lomar, the Mairi belechi tefach, that unlike Tosis is havamin in the kasha, that we're dealing with an ordinary lechi fil chaserivin, which is less than a tefach, no, we're dealing with a lechi that you made it into a tefach. Kidem rinan la'el, as it says earlier, that the tefach for the third wall of sukkah, the mamido bepachas migimel samach ledofen, that you take that tefach, and actually slightly more than a tefach, according to what we saw earlier, and you put it within three tefachim to the wall to make a total of four. So now Tosis points out that that requirement of it being slightly more than a tefach and being within three tefachim of the wall in order to create a halachic wall of four tefachim, which is the majority of seven, the Hainu Midrabanan, that extra idea that tefach has to be a tefach plus and it has to be within three tefachim of the world, that is a rabbinic stringency over the core halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, which is that it just has to be a tefach. According to the core din of the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that will be similar to the way we explained within Rav's idea, that's Kenegar Yotze, that you attach that tefach to one of the corners. And even the way we passing like Reb Simon, I think Reb Shulban Levi, that you require that whole rigmarole of the tefach plus within three tefachim, those are rabbinic add-ons. But on a Torah level, just having a tefach is good enough. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a lechi that was actually a tefach placed right near the wall. Tos continues, Uve Shabbos, so when Sukkot falls on Shabbos, Shorei al yedei migo. So then we allow it through this concept of migo, that since it's good for Shabbos, it's good for Sukkot. Vafilu b'samach l'dayfen, even if you didn't have that less than three tefachim plus the tefach plus. How does this help to solve Tosis's problem? We're still dealing with an underlying issue, midrabanan in Hilchos Shabbos, because in Hilchos Shabbos min haTorah, the three-walled mavui, the mavui she'eino mefulash, is already reshus yachid min haTorah, so only dealing with the rabbinic problem. So the answer is as follows, because yes, we're dealing with only a rabbinic problem within Hilchos Shabbos. But so too, we're only dealing with a rabbinic problem within Hilchas Sukkah. To explain, on a Torah level, again in the example we gave, where the schach is at the front of the mavui or on top of the diagram that we depicted earlier, so you have two walls, one on each side to the right and to the left, and on the third wall, you have a tefach of a lechi, not what you would normally have for Hilchas Shabbos, because you can get away with less, but that's what we're talking about here. That's the Ukimta Tosis makes in the Gemara in order for this to work. And a tefach as a third wall is kosher min haTorah, halacha moshe miSinai for sukkah as well, even though it's directly adjoining the wall, because the idea of having it to be a tefach plus and within three tefachim of the wall to make four tefachim, that's a rabbinic eran. So the underlying issue for Hilchas Shabbos is a rabbinic idea, and the requirement for having a tefach plus within three tefachim is a rabbinic idea. I mean, a Torah, the tefach adjoining the wall is good enough for Hilchas Sukkah. So then we apply the migo, not on a Torah level, but on a rabbinic level. That just as it's good within Hilchas Shabbos totally to be able to carry in that mavui, so that it's good within Hilchas Sukkah, and the Chachamim did not impose their Gzeirah Derabbanan here because of the same structure on migo. Presumably called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Raisa Tikkun, just like a Migo works on a Torah level, so on a rabbinic level, they also allowed the Migo to operate. This is Tosa's answer as to what is going on here in this particular case, where we allow a Mavui Shenim Afulish that has Schach on the front part of it to serve as a kosher Sukkah, but only for Shabbos that occurs on one of the days of Sukkot. So now Tosa's writes that perhaps he could have given a different answer, and then he rejects it. Aval ein letareitz the tefach sukkah midrabanan umidaraisa bekolshu. Let's not go even further and say that maybe just as he assumed that the fact that you require a little more than a tefach within three tefachim, those extra irans are midrabanan. It's just the core requirement of tefach is midaraisa. Maybe let's go further than that and saying that the whole tefach is only midrabanan. That Allah l'moshe miSinai would allow even a mashu. So that's what, and of course, if that's the case, and that would work out with the lechi of Hilchas Shabbos, which is also a mashu, and then you have a migo to allow it for a sukkah. Again, a migo on a derabbanan level. So it says Tosis that that's untenable. We cannot say that. Ain letaritz the tefach sukkah mi derabbanan mi deraitz v'chol shu. That the fact that we need a tefach itself is a stringency derabbanan. Daha beperek hamapeles in Hilchas Nida daf chavav meralef kochashiv doifin sukkah ba'adei chamisha sheshiurin tefach. The Gemara has a list there of five areas in Halacha where the shear is a tefach, and one of them is the third wall of the sukkah. Barminan Hasam, and we say there, the Lochashiv Korah tefach, it didn't list the Korah, the beam on top, that is also a way to be matter the fourth wall of a mavui, Mishim Dehavi Midrabbanan, because that's the Rabbanan. So what does that prove? That rabbinic laws are not included in the list. So what is included in the list? The third wall of the sukkah. So it must be that it's min haTorah, that that's part of the halacha moshe miSinai, and not as Tosis proposed in the Ein Letaretz, that tefach is really rabbinic stringency. No, it's min haTorah, so that's not a valid answer to say that that's how the migo works, from a lechi less than a tefach to a sukkah with a wall less than a tefach. Tosis further elaborates, v'lochoshev alahanach techsivan v'lomafarash shiurayu, that the purpose of that list is those that are considered part of Torah law, but the basic halacha is spelled out, the idea that you have to sit in a sukkah, but the shear was not explicitly mentioned by the Torah Shebaal Chsav, but rather was a matter of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's exactly what, according to the direct implication of that Gemara, is the tefach of the third wall of the sukkah. Sukkah was written, and the shear was not explained by the Torah Shebaal Chsav, but rather only by the Torah Shebaal Peh Halacha Moshe miSinai. So therefore, tefach is deraisa. Just the other erans of the tefach plus within three, that's the rabban. So now Tosfos gets back to address the issue we raised earlier in order to be able to more fully understand the original kasha of Tosfos. Now he spells it out explicitly. What's going on with this schach on this mavui? Where is it placed? Vim tomar mavui zeh. If you're going to ask, im yesh bo gimel mechitzas gemuris, if it has three walls and it's a mavui sheinam afulish, tepiklei. The velo lechi asukah ksheira. That even without the lechi, the sukkah should be totally kosher because you have three walls. The kaim mekrabanan, the amishtaim kolchasan, the shlishas afilo tefach, and all the more so, we have a full three walls. So now, within this context of asking this question, now Tosis goes back to suggest an answer based on Rashi, who had a whole different understanding of what's going on in this Gemara, and he's going to point out that Rashi's pshat, in his opinion, doesn't work well here. Uva kontras pirish the ma'iri b'mavi mufolish. Rashi explained in the previous amud explicitly that we're dealing with a mavi mufolish where there's only two walls, one on each side, and there's entranceways into the Rishis Rabbim on both sides. Now, if you went like that, Rashi, then this question that we just asked would be readily answered. What's the question that Tosafot just asked? That what is the whole issue that you need a lechi, but you have three walls? Because a mavi sheni mefulish has walls on all three sides. According to Rashi, we understand there's only walls on two sides. So hence, we need a lechi in order to create the halachic third wall. So that's Rashi's pshat. Let's just go a little further with that. That according to that Rashi's pshat, that would also serve as an answer to Tosas' original kasha. Tosas said that with a mavi sheni mefulish, the three walls, which is what Tosu is assuming the Gemara is talking about. So the Lechi is only necessary on a rabbinic level, and on a Torah level, the three walls are already created, which is a Yachid. But according to Rashi, that our Gemara is talking about a Mavui Mefulash, so that certainly needs something, at least according to the winning view of the Chachamim in Masechta Erevin. Two walls are certainly not enough to make a Rishi Sayachid. So you certainly need something else to serve as the third wall to make a Rishi Sayachid, and that'll be the Lechi. So Rashi's pshat not only would serve as an answer to Tosas Kasha is asking now of why do you need the lechi altogether? Don't you already have three walls for the sukkah? But it would also serve as an answer to Tosas' original Kasha that how could you take a concept of a lechi that only works on a rabbinic level and then apply it to sukkah where we require three walls on a Torah level? So according to Rashi, you don't have a rabbinically operating lechi to be matter the mavui, you have a Torah operating lechi to be matter the mavui, at least on a Torah level, because you only have two walls. It's a mavui mefulish, and the lechi is actually serving, lechi midin mechitza, serving as the third wall, at least on a Torah level. On a rabbinic level, it's still aser. But that's what Rashi writes earlier, that they didn't impose that rabbinic restriction on sukkahs that fell out on Shabbos, that they allowed it to be kosher for sukkah, and they also allowed you to carry there. Further note that according to Rashi's pshat, they were dealing with a mavi mefulash, which is two walls on either side. So then that would also explain, unlike Tosfos, that we're dealing with a lechi that is less than a tefach, and it's operating on a deraisa level, because with respect to the laws of Shabbos, Erevin, you don't need a tefach, and that's something that Rashi points out explicitly on Amud Aleph, and there the Migo is operating on a Torah level, that lechi, that's less than a tefach, is being mater, the tilfel, on a Torah level. And hence, it also allows the usage of the sukkah, at least when sukkahs falls out on Shabbos. But all this is wonderful and answers all of Tosfos' kashas. But Tosfos points out that that shot of Rashi is very difficult to say that we're dealing with a mavui, a foolish. Tos continues. Kuntrish perish the ma'ir mavim foolish. Lo yitachin. That's not logically possible. The im kain lo mystery belechi v'kora el Rabbi Yehuda. So to give a little background here, according to Rashi, we're dealing with a mavim foolish. How are you matir a mavim foolish to be able to carry min haTorah? So there, a lechi is good enough, according to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. As we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even require the lechi min haTorah, but certainly a lechi would be good enough to allow you to carry min haTorah. But rabbinically, there's a stringency. What's the stringency? We mentioned earlier that a mavi mefulish requires a tzuras haPesach on one side and a lechi on the other. So that's what Tosfos says. Lo mishtri belechi v'kora, when you don't have a tzuras haPesach on one side, ela l'Rabbi Yehuda. That only works according to Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds the min haTorah, two walls are good enough to make a Rishus HaYachid. And since it's a Rishus HaYachid min haTorah, all we need is a Lechi on one side and a Lechi on the other side, two Lechis, in order to be materit totally. But the Rabbanan hold that two walls is considered a Rishus HaRabim min haTorah. And if you make a Lechi, all you do is make it into Rishus HaYachid min haTorah, but it's still usher to carry. So in order to allow you to totally carry, you have to make a tzuras haPesach and a lechi. So Tosfos points out, v'chulu amaroi kerabbanan, v'perakamad de'erevin, daf yud beis mebeis. All the Amoraim hold like the Rabbanan. So therefore, how could our Gemara be talking about a foolish where you just have a lechi or even two lechis, but that doesn't allow you to carry? So if it doesn't allow you to carry, you don't have a migo. Because migo means that since you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, it's kosher for Sukkah. But here, according to the winning view of the Chachamim, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So Rashi answered this on Amud Aleph by saying that here they didn't impose that rabbinic law. But Tosfos is not happy with that approach of Rashi. So therefore, he wants to box our Gemara into talking about a mavish and a foolish. And hence, he has his kasha above, which he answered, and the kasha he has now, of where exactly this chach is. If it's covering the whole mavi, you already have three walls, you don't even need a lechi for the purpose of sukkah. Tosfos just wraps up in terms of further proving that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, v'amrinan b'sov chalon, and v'sech t'erev and pe'al v'mebeiz, v'sov kol gagas, and sari amir alef, t'ein aloch Rabbi Yehuda, v'mechitzis. That we paskin like certain alochas of Rabbi Yehuda within the laws of Erevin, Tchumin, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda with respect to the laws of Mechitzis, that two Mechitzis make a Rishas Yachid, their Raisa. So therefore, that now further motivates this question, where is this chach? If this chach is covering the back of the Mavui or the bottom of the Mavui as we drew in our diagram, or certainly the whole Mavui, we already have three walls. The Tos answers, Yishloma, Delola Mairi, B'mavui Sosum, Igimel Ruchis. That is talking about a mavi that's closed in from three walls, what we call the mavi she'ena mafulish. And where is the schach? Omayri kigon chesikech letzad halechi, that he has the schach on the lechi side, meaning on the open side where you have the lechi, and not on the inner side where the wall is on the bottom of our diagram of the inside side. Vilefnim letzad abatim, where the homes are, lo sikech, he didn't put schach. He put it just on the outside side, the side that's closest to the rishis haravim. The hashta ein lazo sukkah, ela shtei mechitzos v'lechi echod. So now, as you mentioned earlier, so this sukkah only has two mechitzos, on the right side and the left side, and the lechi serving as the third wall, as Tos explained, that once that lechi is a tefach, so that, at least on sukkahs that falls on Shabbos, is a good enough lechi to serve as the tefach of the fourth wall, and we forego the tefach plus and within three tefachim of the wall. Interestingly, the other Rishayim also weigh in on this. Some side with Rashi, and some side with Tosfos, and the Mechaber sides with the understanding of Rashi, which is also held by the Rambam and a simple reading of the Rif and the Rosh. And the Ramah is at least Lechachila Machmir for Tosfos. Tosfos di Rimaschil Sike Chagavi Pasi Viros Kshera. In continuing the examples of Migos, where you have Mechitzos that work for the laws of Shabbos to consider Rishis HaYochid, but really technically shouldn't work for Sukkah, but we say that since it works for Shabbos, it works for Sukkah too. So the Gemara gave the example of Pasei Biros. Pasei Biros, which Tosis alluded to on a previous daf as well, where you have four L-shaped boards, two on the bottom and two on the top flipped, and an Amma in each direction, Amma in each leg of the L, and they were a certain distance apart, so the Chachamim had a special leniency that even though it's not classically four walls to make something into Rosh Hashanah, but they allowed that for the purposes of allowing people who are being Ola Regel to be able to stop off to give their animals water to drink. So if you put schach on top of the Pasei Biros, even though you don't have two solid walls, because an Amma is only six tefachim, and in any case you don't have the third wall connected as well, the tefach, in the proper way. So, but putting schach on it, since it's considered a Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of Shabbos, so it's considered allowed to bring the animals to drink, it's considered a kosher sukkah on the Shabbos of Sukkot. So Tosis elaborates on the rules of Pasei Biros and pointing out some of the problems that might come up here. Migo to have a mechitza in Shabbos, since it's a mechitza with regard to Shabbos, as we mentioned, that the animals could drink from it and no problem in taking out of the well and giving to them. It's not considered carrying from Rosh Hashanah, which is the well, to the Carmelist, because the Pasei Biros is surrounding an area that's considered Rosh Hashanah. Ba'avkaf to loitiru, Tosis has the following implicit question, El Oli Regolin. They only allowed it for those who went out to be Ola Regel, not for everyone. So they didn't consider it to be Rosh Hashanah for everyone. Then Tosfos adds, "Ula Ola Regelim Nami." The Bach adds in the word Nami, and even for the Ola Regelim themselves, "Lo Yitiru Lo Vehemtam." They only allowed it for the animals. Aval Adam, but if a person wants to drink, he's not allowed to rely on the Pasi Bros being a Rishas Yachid. So he cannot take out the water from himself to drink. That would be considered carrying Rishas Yachid to a car, unless he has to climb into the well, drink, and then climb out. Aval Adam, Metapis Vyori, he climbs and goes down. Metapis Vola, climbs and goes out. Kedar Minim, Afer Kos, and Pasin. Sham Dav Chaf Alamar Aleph, the Perek dealing with the Pasi Bros. So what's Tosis Kasha? That you see, it's a very limited kind of heter for Shabbos. It doesn't really work across the board, only for Oli Regalim, and it only works for animals, not for the people. So how could you say amigos? That's what Tosis says. It's good enough. Mikolmukum, nevertheless, kevim deraisi shari v'cholanyan. Since on a Torah level, everyone would be able to use it as a Rishas Sayachit, and people as well. Amin and amigo v'afilim idrabanan, and therefore we allow the amigo for sukkis. That it's a kosher sukkah, and even on a rabbinic level, we don't prohibit it. I feel me, they're born in Loasri, and we don't prohibit it even rabbinically, Misha mitzvah sukkah, because in order to be able to people to fulfill the mitzvah sukkah, they didn't impose the din derabanan. So the Pnei Yehoshua has an interesting comment here that in the earlier Tosis, we spelled out that Tosis took objection to Rashi's a similar kind of interpretation concerning the Mavui. To recall, Rashi held we're dealing with the Mavui and the foolish, and there was a Lechi. And when a Torah that is considered Rosh Hashiachid, even according to the winning view of the Rabbanan, but me the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to carry in that area until you have a source of Pesach plus Alechi. And Rashi had said that then the Rabbanan didn't impose in order to allow people to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah when you put Tzchach on such a Mavui. So Tosis implicitly, without spelling this out, didn't like that pshat, because bottom line, you're not allowed to carry in that Mavui. So why with just Alechi? The Mavi Mefulish. So why suddenly here the Tosis says that the mitzvah is enough to override this, to not be concerned about this din derabanan, that the people are not allowed to use it and the other regalim are not allowed to use it. So the Pnei Yehoshua answers that, but at least for somebody it's okay. It's okay for the other regalim with respect to their animals. So there is an actual heter that's given even on the rabbanan level to use it. But when it comes to Mavi Mefulish that has a lechi. Even though that on a Torah level that converts it into three walls to make it Shasi Yachid, but on a rabbinic level, no one's allowed to carry in it. Not animals, not Oli Regolim, nobody. So that's why Tosus found Rashi's Pshat unconvincing. Tosus now continues that if that's true, that there is somewhat of a problem in using the Migui with the Pasi Biros because it's not smoothly mutter for everybody. And there's a special chiddush that because of the mitzvah of Sukkah, they allow an override of the Dinder Rabbanan, at least on Sukkis, the day of Sukkis that falls out on Shabbos. So Tosis notes that the Gemara made a Tzrichasa, trying to explain why they had to say amigo in the case of the two walls and the Tefach. Amigo from Sukkah to Shabbos. And why they had to say amigo from Shabbos to Sukkah with respect to the Mavui. Why they had to say amigo with respect to the Pasi Biros seems to be the same principle again and again. So the Gemara had said, within the fact that it said amigo with respect to Mavui from Shabbos to Sukkah and with respect to Pasi Biros from Shabbos to Sukkah, because each one has a chiddush that the other one doesn't have. That the case of the Mavui has at least a solid two walls, according to Tosis, we're dealing with the Mavui, Shein and Mefulish, but where the Schach was, you only had solid two walls, and the Lechi was the third, because it was on the outside side of the Mavui. But in the case of the Pasi Baros, you don't even have a solid two walls, because you just have L's in the four corners, like bookends, and then you have big gaps on each side. So that was the Tzrich Set made, that you might have thought that Pasi Baros, you would not apply the Migo, you'd only apply it to Mavui. And the Gemara also gives a vice versa, a Tzrich Set, why you need the Mavui if you already have Pasi Baros. So Tosa says, why did the Gemara have to say that Pasi Baros is a greater Chiddush from one perspective, because it doesn't have a solid two walls, it could have given this chiddush. V'chiyavet tzrichusa, when it made the tzrichusa, mimavui sheyesh lo lechi, umipasin. So, again, adding a line, why couldn't have said that we're makel, especially when it comes to Pasi Baros, even though not everyone can carry it, at least on a rabbinic level on Shabbos, because of the Sukkot mitzvah. And that's not something that's relevant to Mavi with Lechi, because the Mavi with Lechi, everyone's allowed to carry it. So why didn't they give that answer instead of what it gave? So Tos explains, it didn't concern itself with giving that reason, that chiddush of the fact that we're being matir because the Sukkah is a mitzvah. The Pshita lay time in the mitzvah. That it didn't really think was such a great chiddush, Because it found it obvious that Pesukah is a mitzvah, so we're allowed to override that particular din the Rabbanan restricting how mutter the Pasei Beros is. So that's why I didn't think that was a good enough reason to list it as a separate migo above and beyond the Mavi and the Lechi, and it gave the reason of the fact that there aren't a solid two walls. To recall, the Gemara had quoted the view of Rabbi Yoshia that the walls also require tzilsam v'ruv mechamtza, you have to have more shade than sun. And he learns it out from the paroches in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, because there the Torah describes as v'sakosa l'aronis ha-paroches. They use the term schach, sikuch, with respect to a paroches, which is a mechitza, and nonetheless it's calling it schach, so it has to have a lachs of schach, namely tzilsam v'ruv mechamtza. So, Tosis has a comment that why couldn't they derive it from another source? Mehod de nafkalon mechitzos le'el mebesukos, the whole sugya we saw earlier, that machlokas Rishimon and the Rabbanon exactly how to read it, but everyone agrees that the number of walls were deriving from the multiple instantiations of the word sukos or sukas of Yeshem Masora. So why can't we derive it from there? That there we see the word sukkah is being used to apply to mechitza. So we see that mechitza has halacha of sukkah or schach. So that's what Tosis writes, that mehod anafkalan mechitzas le'el mibesukos, the karya rachmana schacha, from the fact that we derive earlier the number of mechitzas from the word sukos or sukas, and the Gemara is calling it schach, lamatzi darish, you cannot derive from there. The hasam lo darshinon elami itura. We're not deriving from the word itself that it's called schach, we're darshining it from the fact that it's extra, that it mentions it multiple times. So that apparently disqualifies us from deriving halachas about what the mechitza is all about. We're just deriving it from the fact that it's redundant. The Teda Tosis proves this point. The kulam modu de lo ba'inan lemechitzos psoles garen v'yekev, one of the core halachos of schach, of course, is that it's psoles garen v'yekev. We learn out from ba'as p'cham garen k'mikvecha that it can't be mekabel tuma, just like craps, or the straw of the craps, the psoles, and it has to grow from the ground and be detached from the ground. So no one said that the schach has to be, that the walls have to be from psoles garen v'yekev. Why not? Aren't the walls compared to schach by deriving them from the multiple words sukkos, sukkas, etc.? So that just proves the point that obviously does not shed light on the nature of the halachis of the walls, but rather just the number of the walls. On the other hand, the drasha from the paroches, where it says v'sakosa with respect to the paroches, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia, does teach you that it has some halacha of schach in the sense that it also has to provide shade, and therefore you need shade more than chama, but that halacha from the paroches would certainly not teach you anything more than that, and therefore it doesn't teach you that the walls have to be as kosher as schach in terms of growing from the ground and so on and so forth and not being makabel tuma. To recall, Abaye had collected in something that the Gaonim referred to as a Shita, that Rebbe and Reb Shimon and Rabbi Gamliel and others all hold that a sukkah requires Diras Keva. So Tosis notes that even though they all have a commonality that they require some aspect of Keva, but they don't necessarily all agree with each other in terms of everyone agreeing with all the aspects that each one introduces. Say Tosis, Al Karchin Ein Shovin. You have to say they're not exactly equivalent. Al Rebbe Boy Dalet Amos. Because Rebbe is in the list, he requires a sukkah 4x4 Amos. Well, the Veshamai and Veshamai are in the list, Sagi Bechdei Rosh Avrubu Shulchano, which is 7x7 Tvachim. And they're all in the list of Diras Keva. So clearly, one person's Keva is not the other, because Rebbe's Keva is 4x4 Amos, and Veshamai's Keva is 7x7 Tvachim. With the Kavasebi of Amos, Paragam Gamliel, Tosa points out that not to worry that kind of collection of X, Y, Z, A, B, C all hold the same thing. That just means they have an application of a certain halachic principle, but they don't necessarily have it in the same way. So similarly, you have that parallel to that in Yevamis, Paragam Gamliel, where the Gemara says in an Aleph and a Beis, Kulu Svir Lahu Ma'amar Kone Kenyan Gomor. Ma'amar is a prelude to Yibum. where you do some kind of kiddush in the Rabbanan. There's a machlokas about how significant that kinyan is. So the Gemara there also collects various tanoim who hold that it's a kinyan gomor and not this a pseudo kinyan with various nafkaminas. So with Beshamai and other tanoim being in the list of mamar koine kinyan gomor, and Beshamai hold that mamar is actually a kinyan d'oraisa. With some of the other tanoim holding that mamar is koine kinyan gomor, it has more severity than what other tanoim hold about mamar, but they hold it's only d'rabbanan. So clearly there's a distinction between what the various tanaim hold, and even though they're put in the same list, they only have a certain common denominator, that mamar is kinyan gomor, but not exactly on the details. Tosis notes, not a topic enough to go into the exact details, a complex sugya, that not everyone on the list holds exactly the same thing. They just all have some nafkamina of mamar being more significant than just a weak kinyan, but that's a stronger kinyan, but they're not exactly identical. So that's the end of the first part of Tosis, that not everyone is exactly the same. Now Tosis, the second part of Rabbi Huda's being in the list. Rabbi Huda, to recall, is in the list because he holds that a sukkah could be taller than 20 amos, and that somehow relates to the topic of sukkah diras keva. Tosis now proceed to try to analyze exactly how Abaye knew that Rabbi Huda, whom Abaye puts in the list of the people who hold that a sukkah diras keva, how did he know that Rabbi Huda holds that way? So he starts with a simple approach, which he rejects, and then he gives a different approach, which he accepts. Tosis say, Rabbi Huda, the reason that Abaye listed Rabbi Huda in the list of the Diras Keva group, Lav Mishum da Sikna La'el, Taima de Rabbonan, the Pasli, the Ba'u Diras Arai. It's not that we prove that Rabbi Huda holds that Sukkah could be Diras Keva, because that's a direct contrast to the Shitas Rachachamim, the Rabbanan, who hold that it has to be Diras Arai. To recall, that was the view of Rava, who said that the Nakudas HaMachlokas, the point of debate between them, is that Rabbanan hold it must be less than 20 Amish because you need Diras Arai, or you need Ro'i Lias Arai. And the reason that Rabbi Huda's Machshe more than 20 Amish is because he holds that it could also be Keva. So the fact that that's the point of debate, even though theoretically you might have assumed that Rabbi Huda, who was machshir a sukkah higher than 20 amis, maybe he's only machshir it when you use the rye materials, but that cannot be, because since, according to Rava, the Rabbanan exactly passel it and disqualify it, because you need keva materials for a sukkah that's higher than 20 amis, and they require diras arai. So by contrast, obviously Rabbi Huda is dealing with permanent materials and nonetheless kosherizing it because he holds that diras keva is also acceptable. This is the simple pshat that Abaye's diuk, that Rabbi Huda holds diras keva, is based on Rava's worldview here. To recall, the other Amoraim, Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, did not share that view of Rava. And they maintain, as the Ritva points out explicitly, that there are situations where even the Chachamim agree that a sukkah could be higher than 20 amos. Namely, according to one view, if the schach reaches if the walls reach the schach, according to another view, if it's wider than 4x4 amis, again, according to Reb Zeir and Rabba, depending on the specific reasons, they clearly don't hold that the debate between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Huda revolves around whether it's Diras Arai or Diras Keva, and that's suddenly higher than 20 amis, so that has to be Keva, and only lower than 20 amis is Arai. So Tosis continues, the Abaye the Hacha, who makshel Rava, that Abaye was the one who attacked Rava, seemingly putting him in the camp of Rabbi Zeir and Rabba, whom the Gemara said that the reason that they argue on Rava is exactly because of the Kasha of Abaye. The Abaye the Hacha, who makshel Rava, the Islayahu Taima, that Abaye attacked Rava, who holds that the Chachamim hold that you need Diras Arai, and Abaye holds you could even have Diras Keva. What was Abaye's Kasha on Rava? That according to you, Rava, if only under 20 amis is called Arai and above 20 amis is called Keva, so if you build a sukkah out of barzel, out of iron, under 20 amis, that should also be puzzled, to which Rava responded, it has to be Ro'i Lios Arai, it has to be fit to be Arai, and under 20 amis, it is more likely to be able to be Arai. Above 20 amis, it's either impossible or unusual to make it Arai. So, but Abaye didn't accept Rava's answer, as is the simple reading, because the Gemara says that Rava and Rabbi Zeira exactly rejected Rava because of Abaye's Kasha. So certainly Abaye accepted Abaye's Kasha. So if that's the case, then Abaye rejected Rava's logic. So the Nakudas HaMachlokas, according to Abaye, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, does not revolve around whether a sukkah is Diras Arayah or Diras Keva. So how then can we prove that Rabbi Yehuda holds, within the view of, let's say, Reb Zeira Rabba, whom Abaye seems to hold like, so how can we prove that just because Rabbi Yehuda's machshir a sukkah higher than 20 amos, that he holds Diras Keva, maybe it's made out of flimsy materials? So Tosfos answer, Avol mikol makom emesu, that is a false assumption that a sukkah higher than 20 amos can be made out of flimsy materials. It's true, delamala in and of itself, even without Rabba's worldview, delamala mechaf lo kaima, that higher than 20 amos, it cannot exist, such as sukkah elam kain aso keva, unless you made it out of permanent materials. And to recall, this is exactly what Tosfos and Beis Amud Aleph maintained as well, that higher than 20 amos cannot be made, except, I guess, in some unusual way, but it basically cannot be made unless you use permanent materials. So the diuk is not by contrasting the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, but from Yehuda Shita himself. Then it turns out, just to reflect on this a little more, that if those are the facts, then higher than 20 amos by itself indicates keva. So Rava, who holds that absolutely the Chachamim never amachshir a sukkah higher than 20 amos, so he holds that the Chachamim require a rai, and Rabbi Yehuda allows for keva too, and Rabbi Zeira and Rava, and this point is actually made explicitly by the Ritva, that within Tosis's view at least, that higher than 20 amos cannot be made with materials other than Keva materials, so then it turns out, according to Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira, that the Chachamim also allow for a sukkah that's Keva, in which case it's somewhat curious why Abaye put Rabbi Yehuda in the list, but one could answer, as the Ritva does, that he wants to say something that would be according to everybody, that within Rabbah's view, it's only Rabbi Yehuda belongs in the list, even though according to Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira, even the Chachamim could belong in the list, but Abaye is listing something that would be Ali B'duchuli Alma, even though he himself argues on it. Tosfos further verify their point that one could prove from Rabbi Yehuda's statement itself that a sukkah higher than 20 amos is by definition keva, because the materials have to be made out of keva, from the Gemara later on Chafal from Abayis in the second parak. Ramina Nami B'ferak HaYoshin. Rabbi Yehuda leTaimei, the Amar Sukkah Diras Keva Bo'inan. The case there is that we paskin that if you sleep under a bed that's 10 tevachim tall, so that disqualifies your mitzvah, because you're under another ohel, and you have to be under the ohel of the schach, and not the ohel of the bed. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it is kosher, because the bed is an ohel arai, and the sukkah is an ohel keva, and therefore the Ohel Keva wins over the Ohel Arai, and you're considered as sleeping under the Schach and not under the bed. That's as if the bed is not there. So that's what the Gemara says again, Rabbi Yehuda Taimei follows his own Shita, Damar Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. And where did the Gemara verify that idea that Rabbi Yehuda holds Diras Keva? V'diyek mehod demachshir l'mala mechaf. It was medayik in a straightforward way, and it's dochuk to say that Gemara is only going according to Rava's view. So from the very statement that he allowed more than 20 amos to be kosher, so that indicates that it's made out of permanent materials and it's keva. So Tosfos elaborates, just one more line, Shma Mina. This implies, the Gemara on Chafal Mabez was extracting, De Rogil Lasei Sukasoi Diras Keva, that it's common to make the sukkah into Diras Keva. How does the fact that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah could be higher than 20 amos prove that he holds that you can have Diras Keva, maybe it's made out of flimsy materials? So the fact that the Gemara did infer from that, Shema Mino, the Rogalasi, Sukasi Diras Keva, that the Gemara is assuming that higher than 20 amos has to be made out of permanent materials. And since Rabbi Yehuda allows a Sukkah higher than 20 amos, so at least under certain circumstances, we have a Diras Keva, Rogalasi, Sukasi Diras Keva, because any Sukkah that's higher than 20 amos will have to be Diras Keva. The exact meaning of Tosis as to what he means by saying Rogilase Sukase Diras Keva, isn't it always going to be Diras Keva above 20 amos, needs a little more explanation. And perhaps what he means is the following, as we already briefly mentioned earlier. Since you could have a sukkah higher than 20 amos, so that means that Diras Keva is acceptable. And throughout our explanation of the Tosis, we are always assuming that Tosis is going with the approach that according to Behuda, you don't absolutely need Diras Keva, which would be the view of some of the other people in the list, such as Rebbe, who holds you need 4x4 amos, and in a somewhat different way of Beis Shammai, who holds you need 7x7 tefachim as opposed to 6x6 tefachim. But Rebbe Yehuda is a little bit different, and that's a point that's made explicitly by the Tosfos HaRosh, and not unlikely to assume that our Tosfos is going with the assumption that all the other Balei Tosfos were going with, and the Rosh was later, but the Rosh was building off of this Tosfos most likely. And that is that Rebbe Yehuda allows a sukkah higher than 20 amos, but he also allows a sukkah less than 20 amos. And we don't find that Rebbe Yehuda holds that if it's less than 20 amos, you have to build it out of metal, like Abaye's Kasha against Rava. So Rebbe Yehuda clearly allows a sukkah that's a rai. He just also allows keva. So I believe what Tosfos is saying here, that shmamina derogilasei sukkasei diras keva, that you see that it's perfectly acceptable to have a sukkah diras keva, even though it's also acceptable to have it arai. So therefore, a sukkah is called and labeled as diras keva, even when you make it arai. Since it could be keva, it's labeled as a diras keva. And based on that, we could help understand what the Gemara in the second parak is stating here, because it says that Rebbe Yehuda allows you to sleep under the mita, because that's arai and all arai, and the sukkah is an all keva. Who says an all keva? We're talking about a sukkah that's higher than 20 amis. We're talking about a sukkah that's made out of metal? Not necessarily. So that's what the Tosfos HaRosh explains, that it's according to Rebbe Yehuda's worldview of how sukkahs have to be made, it's called keva because it could be keva. So that's what I think Tosfos is saying here too. Shema mino derogelas is sukkah diras keva. That the Gemara is being medayik from the fact that Rebbe Yehuda holds it could be taller than 20 amos indicates that it can be keva, and it's whatever, 50-50, depending on how tall you make your sukkah, so you might actually be making it keva. That's common, and therefore we label sukkah as diras keva, and therefore it does not get shaken by the person sleeping under the bed, because that by definition is arai. This point that the Tosfos HaRosh makes explicitly, and according to our explanation, our Tosfos is also going with, that according to Rebbe Yehuda, sukkah can be keva, but it doesn't have to be keva, is debated greatly by the Rishonim. The Ramban and others hold that according to Yehuda, sukkah has to be keva. But I believe that the Tosfos here, and as we mentioned, Tosfos HaRosh and the Rosh himself explicitly state that Rabbi Yehuda holds it can be keva, not that it has to be keva. And that's what we suggested is the meaning of the last line of Tosfos. So Tosfos gets involved in a girsa issue in our Gemara. Within the list of those who held that sukkah has to be diras keva, so we have Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel held that a sukkah that's a rosh asfina is possible, because it cannot withstand winds that are common in the yam, in the sea, and Rabbi Kiva holds it's okay because we measure it by land winds. And the Gemara points out that that revolves around whether or not sukkah requires diras keva, according to Gamliel, or only diras arai, which is the view of Rabbi Akiva. So within our version of the braisa that is quoted here, we have a osa sukkaso barosha gala, one who makes a sukkah on top of a wagon, or barosha sfina. It doesn't only focus on a boat, but also on the head of a wagon. So Rashi had that girsa too, and he explains that the common denominator is as follows. With respect to the sfina, it has to do with whether the winds that are common in the sea could blow it down. With respect to the agala, that also can't really be called keva because it's in transit all the time. It can move around. And Rabbi Akiva holds it doesn't matter, and Gamliel says it's possible. So Tosfos notes that it's likely, in his opinion, that we really shouldn't have the girsa of Barosh HaGala, although there is a Mishnah later that discusses Barosh HaGala, but there it's unanimous that it's kosher. And Tosfos wants to assume that a sukkah that's Barosh HaGala is not really called Arai because of the fact that it could move around. The sukkah is strong enough and has the right measurements to qualify as a keva. The fact that you could move it around like a mobile home is not necessarily going to make it Arai. But Rashi clearly disagrees. Okay, so Tosfos inside. Also, sukkasa v'rosh agola v'rosh asfina. L'kamon, Mefarshim take out the word Mefarish. L'kamon v'ferk ha'yoshein. And the chaf beis mebeis v'masnisen. In the Mishnah, the Ketanik Sheira, where it speaks about it being kosher, v'rosh asfina, our Gemara seems to be quoting a braisa. So the Mishnah there, that speaks about only the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that on top of the boat is Sheira. Garcinan Barosh Agala. We do have the Girsa Barosh Agala, but they didn't have the machlokas during the Rabbi Kiva. Halacha b'vraisa, but here in the Vraisa, if looked at the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Kiva, where Rabbi Gamliel's opinion is mentioned, and in the context of having it here, that would mean that Rabbi Gamliel disqualifies the sukkah of Rosh HaGolah. It doesn't belong here. That even Rabbi Gamliel would kosherize the sukkah of Rosh HaGolah. V'chein Rabbeinu Chananel lo garisle. Rabbeinu Chananel also didn't have it here. Sheba Rosh HaGolah lo pligi. They're not arguing about a sukkah on the head of the wagon, on top of the wagon. The maskina, and the proof is, since we have the maskana in Perakah Yoshein, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, Tefligi, B'yichol Olamod, Baruch Metzuya. And that's the headquarters of that machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva concerning the sukkah on top of the boat. That they're arguing whether it could withstand Tefligi, B'yichol Olamod, Baruch Metzuya, the Abosha. V'eni Yichol Olamod, Baruch Metzuya, the Yam. That it could withstand normal winds that are common in that season on the land, but it can't withstand normal winds that are common in that season for the sea. And Leo holds it has to be able to withstand that too, because Keva and Akiva holds it doesn't have to, because they're right. So if that's the case, and that's all that the Gemara says is the Nakuda Samachlokis that they're debating about, it didn't mention anything about Agala, but the wagon. The wagon is on the land, so how is that in any way related to being able to withstand the winds of the sea? So presumably Gamliel's reason for din over here that it can't withstand the winds of the sea would not apply to the Agala. It can withstand the winds of the land, so it should be kosher. And the Gemara didn't give any other Nakuda Samachlokis point of debate to Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. So Tosa says that perhaps you can get out of that proof from Miri Yesh Lidchos. You can push it aside. The Chihai Gavna Amar Yechol Olamot Baruch Metzuyah the Oretz Ben Yechol Olamot Baruch Metzuyah Sheberosh Agala. That the degree of wind that appears in a stationary sukkah would be less than that which would be presented to a sukkah that's moving. How so? Tais continues, Kaven Denaida, since it moves. So since it moves, in a car, so you feel more wind going through, the aerodynamics there. So it's going to be, as you're moving, there's going to be more wind, and therefore it's not going to be as much as the sea, but there's increased wind. So that would be the similar point of debate that Rabbi Akiva would say that even if it cannot withstand the wind on the top of the Agala, but it's still good enough, had it been stationary, it would be able to withstand, then it's kosher. And Rabbi Leo would say no. So it is somehow related. So that is a possibility to compare it to the Sfina. Again, Rabbi Natan's initial point, presumably, was the fact that the winds on the top of the boat are much, much stronger than the land winds, the ones in the Agala. Not dealing with a car that's zooming down the highway, so are only incrementally higher. So Tosis continues to say that even though you could say that it's related to the wind machlokis, because when you're traveling, the winds are somewhat at a greater velocity, but v'lo mistabra klal, that's not logical to say that. The elameata, once you're already focusing on the fact that it moves, so then you could have come up with a different Nakuda Samachlokis, a different point of why it might be Keva, might be Arai. You could have come up with a different point of debate as to why it shouldn't be considered Keva. Liflagu b'sukkah sheberosh agola. Let them argue about the sukkah and the top of the wagon. Kevin denaida mischazia karai. And since it moves, it looks like it's temporary because it's moving. And Rabbi Akiva would hold that that's not a problem. And Rabbi Gamliel hold what is a problem. So what Tosfos seems to be driving at is, and the Gemara on the Mishnah, on the Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, where you have the sugya of the sukkah that's at the top of the Sfina, it only discussed issues of winds. It didn't discuss a new point that the fact that it's moving, it's considered a rai. That svara may or may not be true, but the Gemara never mentioned it anywhere. So therefore, to have the girsa of Agola and to have some brand new machlokas not mentioned anywhere is difficult. Tosfos further asks, "Vod kasha de v'rosh ha'sfina nami naidi," that the top of the ship is also moving. So if that is a valid point, the fact that it moves is considered a raya and a keva. So that could have been the point of debate. Why did the Gemara say that it's about the winds? So therefore, Tosfos continues to spell it out. V'lama leila meimar. The Bach changes the girsa slightly. And why did it have to say mishem deini chol alamad v'ruch mitzui diyam? Why did it have to focus on the fact that it can't withstand the sea winds? It could have focused on the movement. So the fact that it didn't say that sounds like movement is totally irrelevant in determining whether it's a Rai or Keva. Again, say Almad to learn from a mobile home that could be a permanent home, even though the home moves from place to place. The Tosfos concludes, Amiru Yesh Li Yashev, Kamo Shefarish, Lekamon, Perka Yoshein, Tavchofala from a base. Tosfos there And the Gemara on Gabi Sukkah Shesamcha Bekare Amita. The Gemara there quotes a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a sukkah, you have the boards of the bed that are supporting it. You have boards on all the sides that are 10 tefachim tall, and people sleep in the bed in the middle, and you put schach on top. So the Chum say it's a perfectly kosher sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies it. So one reason why Rabbi Yehuda disqualified, one is the famous reason that it's made out of metal, so it's mamid bedavar makabel tumah, supporting the schach, which things that are susceptible to tumah. Or even if it's wood, but the mita, the bed is makabel tumah. And the other explanation, which is relevant here, is that it is considered arai. And Rabbi Yehuda holds you need keva. Why is it considered arai? So Rashi there explains because the bed could move. Okay, so Tosis over there points out also. You see that you have some kind of model that something that moves is indeed considered arai. And then he re-raises the issue of what about the Sfina, and how come they didn't say they would respect to the Sfina, and he suggests that the boat is normal for it to move, so maybe that doesn't detract from it being keva. But it's not normal for a sukkah on the land to move. So if you make a sukkah in a bed, which theoretically could move, so that would be considered arai and detract from its keva state. So maybe you could say such a pshat. It's interesting that pshat that Tosafot took for granted is not correct, at least here, even though he entertained it again on Chav Aleph Amud Beis. But the fact that the agala is considered a rai because of the fact that it moves is exactly what Rashi says here, quietly, when he said that there are two points of debate concerning the sukkah on the boat. It's because of the fact that it can't withstand the heavy winds. And concerning the sukkah on top of the agala, it's because it moves. So this is another example of one person's deductio ad absurdum is another person's inachinami. Here Tosa says, and for sure you're not going to say it, it's because it moves. And Rashi says exactly that. It's not because of winds, it's because it moves. Tosa di b'masal acher momrim sukkah asuya kishovech psula. The Gemara, in recording the last Tana, who holds that sukkah requires diros keva, quotes Acherim, that a sukkah that's made like some kind of bird coat where the birds hang out, some kind of circle, a small circle, so it's possible. And the assumption that Abaye gave here is because it's not the way you build permanent homes in some kind of small circle. Tosis elaborates the sukkah diras keva beinan that we require a diras keva and it's not. So now Tosis notes v'acherim hain Rabbi Meir. Gemara then the Horius points out that for whatever reason Rabbi Meir was considered to have acted improperly and was penalized by the Nasi Rishim Gamliel, and therefore all of his halachic opinions were given over in the name of acherim. So even though it's not an absolute, you see, and Tosis notes this as well, that sometimes you have a cherim that clearly can't be Reb Meir because you have a mayor in the same brisa, the same mishnah, Reb Meir omer a cherim omer. But here the default is that a cherim is a mayor. So if so, we have on file that Reb Meir holds that a sukkah has to be a diras keva, as with the sobriquet of a cherim. So now Tosus gets stuck with a kasha v'hadam Reb Meir lekamon, that which Reb Meir says later on Chafaf and Beis, the very next daf. Shtei sukkas hayotrim, zo lefnim yizo. You have two booths of the artisans, one behind the other. So the inner one, as the Gemara explains, Rashi elaborates there, is where the yotzer would live, at least temporarily, as he's selling his goods. And the outer one is where he would display his goods, but he wouldn't live there, he wouldn't eat there, he wouldn't sleep there. So hachitzona sukkah, uptura. The Chitzona is not his home of the whole year. He's not living there. So that can be used as a sukkah, something that's kosher schach. And as such, it's considered too temporary to be chayv in mezuzah, so it's Torah min mezuzah. And the inner one is where he lives, and therefore it's chayv in mezuzah. So Tosus just notes that Rabbi Huda, who holds that sukkah is diras keva, holds that a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah. So how does it work out with that Gemara? In the language of Tosfos, shtei sukkas hayotzrim zo lefnei mizo, hachitzona sukkah of tura min mezuzah. So the kasha that according to Reb Meir, who the Gemara said because of the fact that he disqualified a shovech, also holds that you need diras keva, or at least you could also have diras keva. So why isn't a chayiv a mezuzah? So here's Tosa's answer. B'shar yimot shana kamar. It's saying it's potim in a mezuzah the rest of the year. Because the rest of the year, the fact that it's flimsy and temporary, disqualifies it from mezuzah. But on Sukkah, it's called diras keva. De'ilu b'chag, on yamtif, kevin de kasavar diras keva, since Rav Meir agrees with Rav Yehuda that it's called diras keva, but inan, and they require that chayiv is mezuzah. It's obligated in mezuzah. Kedemuchach perkam diyoma, daf yudam aleph, as evident in the first perk of Yom, the Mehai time of Machai Rabbi Yehuda, Sukkah Sachag, Bechag, Mezuzah, and indeed Rabbi Yehuda holds that to Sukkah on Yom Tif, because of its status as Diras Keva. Again, we pointed out earlier that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that it could be Keva, but it's characterized as Keva on Sukkah. So therefore it's required in a Mezuzah. It's obligated in a Mezuzah, and Rabbi Meir, if someone would agree. So the Brisa that records Rabbi Meir is exempting him from Mezuzah, that must be talking about that room the whole year, but that room on Sukkot would actually be chayiv mezuzah, similar to Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps we could have suggested another answer based on the Tosas earlier that not everyone agrees with everyone's nafkamina. So maybe the Moran Yoma only said with respect to Rabbi Yehuda, who allows a 20 amatol sukkah, higher than 20 amatol sukkah, so he mamish holds that it's keva and therefore it's chayiv mezuzah. But maybe some of the other members of the list, including a chayrim, they have an aspect of requiring keva, namely that it can't be a shovech, it can't be a circle that's similar to a bird coat, but not necessarily an absolute proof that Rav Meir would hold his chayiv mezuzah, and maybe that brisa that says Patim mezuzah is talking about even on Sukkis, going with Rav Meir, not necessarily going as far as Rav Yehuda would go.